Amen. All right. Well, they are heading back to their class. As they head back, I want to encourage you, make sure that you get one of the little books. Now, I got a large, I got a big book. This is, you should have a small book that looks like this. Okay? They're out there on the table. If you don't have one, make sure you get one. These are books that we're going to be taking notes in, and we are in a new series called Choose Your Own Adventure, that there's going to be a path A and there's going to be a path B. There's God's way, and then there's my way. And the prayer is that we will choose the right path, because there is a way that seems right unto man, the Bible says, but the end leads in death. If I travel my path and do it my way, it's going to end in destruction. But if I go down the path that God lays out for me, it's going to turn out much better. How many of y'all have already experienced that one in life? Can I hear an amen? All right. So if you would stand for the honor of reading God's word, we're going to read Genesis chapter 4. So in your little booklet, if you have the table of contents page, the title of the message this morning is His Way or My Way. His way or my way, and the characters are Cain and Abel. It says, now Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I've gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would begin to tender our hearts, God, in what it means to honor you with the resources that you have given us. How that we can take the financial aspect of our life and give you honor, glory. Help us, God, to bring our best to you. I pray that you give us ears to hear, God, and will to obey. Speak to us, God, and may we obey you. Help me to preach plain and clear today, Lord. I understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, and his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Two men bring an offering to the Lord, one of the fruit of the ground, the other the firstborn of his flock. God accepts one and rejects the other. Why? Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. The word tells us clearly that the offering Abel brought was the firstborn of his flock. But it doesn't say that Cain brought the first fruits of his crops. It simply says, in the process of time, Cain brought an offering. Cain harvested his crops and over time gathered enough to bring an offering. It was an offering on Cain's terms. God accepted Abel's offering because it was the first of his increase. Cain's offering was rejected because it wasn't the first of his. Giving the first to God requires faith. When a firstborn lamb is born in a flock, it's not possible to know how many more lambs that you might produce. But Abel gave his firstborn lamb in faith, whereas Cain made sure he had enough for himself before giving to God. Many of us treat God the same way as Cain, making sure we have enough money before we see if there's anything left for God. Even if we give from what's left over, God can't accept the offering because it's not the first fruit. Other stories emphasize this truth. In the account of the fall of Jericho, the Lord gave strict instructions that the Israelites were not to keep any of the spoils from Jericho. All of it belonged to him, the Lord declared. Jericho belonged to the Lord because it was the first city conquered in the Promised Land. It was the first fruits. God withheld his blessing from Israel when one man took some of the spoils for himself. The first belongs to God. There was much more at stake than money when Abraham offered his firstborn son Isaac. When God asked for his son, Abraham didn't wait to have 10 sons before giving Isaac. He gave the first when he only had one to give. Abraham had only the promise of having more sons. It took faith for Abraham to offer Isaac, faith that God respected and blessed. And God did the same for us. He gave his first in the form of his son, his first and only begotten son, who was given to us while we were still sinners. God gave Jesus in faith that we might one day give our lives to him. The gift of his son came before the blessing of our repentance and salvation. We give our first fruits in much the same way. Before we see the blessing of God, we give it in faith. Giving the first fruits of your income says to God, I recognize you first. I am putting you first in my life, and I trust you to take care of the rest.
It's a hard issue. Bottom line, what it comes down to, it's a hard issue. Do I show honor with my wealth? Do I honor God? Am I faithful of handling money the way that God says to handle money? You see, it had gotten to the way of Cain. All through the Bible, you see that there are times when God calls his people to bring his first fruits, and the people respond and they bring their best to God. Because in essence, what it is are you going to bring your best to God? And when the people would bring their best to God, the blessing of God would be over their life. But when they became callous and had a wicked heart and they began not bringing their best to God, then the blessing would cease. And so this morning, as we look at God's word, I would be unfaithful to you this morning if I did not preach and challenge you to bring your best to God in all aspects. And one of those aspects is our finances. That we need to be people who bring our best, that we don't give him the leftovers, that we don't give him what's left, but we bring him our very best, that we are not the slackers, but we're the ones that are actually doing the job and doing well. How many of y'all played sports? I played sports, love sports, I love everything about sports, and I'm a competitor. And I wanted to be the one who always added to the team and brought something to the team. When I went to practice, when I showed up for a game, I brought my best. I laid it all out on the floor, or I laid it all out on the field. I mean, I brought the best I could. What I couldn't stand was the slackers who wouldn't do their job. Can I get an amen? I need some help today. I know you got. This is going to be, this may, you know, put your seatbelt on. Warning, this could get rocky. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to realize that I don't want to be the slacker. I don't want to be the one that's not touching the line when we're supposed to be touching the line. I don't want to be the one that shows up to practice not prepared, not ready. I was always the person, I wanted to bring my best. And when we show up to the house of God, we ought to be bringing our best. We ought to be bringing him the best that we have. Because what had happened is in the Bible, like it is today, the priest and the people had a heart far from God. Their heart grew cold. And they began bringing stuff to God that he just wouldn't accept. So if you have your Bible, turn to Malachi, the book of Malachi. These are the last words that God speaks until Jesus shows up on the scene. Okay? This is his last words. He goes silent for 400 years. And so he wants us to know something about true worship. Until we get this aspect in our life, we haven't grown to a fully mature disciple yet. And so what we want to do is we want to produce maturing, growing, healthy disciples and followers of Jesus. How many of y'all want to be a follower of Jesus? We want to follow him and we want to mature in our faith. And this is one aspect that we need to address. And it says in Malachi chapter 1, verse 6, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? God asks. And if I am a master, where is my fear, says the Lord of hosts to you? O priest who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not what? Evil. And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor, says the Lord of hosts? He says, here's what's going on. You're bringing half-hearted worship. You're not honoring me. I'm your father, but you're not showing me any honor. Why? Because the priests are allowing this to happen. And it ain't going to fall on my shoulders. I'm going to take the burden off of me and give you correct instruction. And then what you do with it's on you. All right, I'm not going to be like Malachi, the priest of Malachi's days, and say, nah, it's okay. Just whatever, you know, $2, $3, whatever. Just throw it in there. It don't matter. Now, I'm not going to say that because that's not what God told me. He says, you all are allowing blind animals, lame animals, when you ought to be bringing your best. You're bringing the things that you don't even want yourself, and then you're giving it to me. Now, how many of you all would go out to eat? Let's just say you're going to Applebee's or Cattleman's, and you're inviting someone that's really important to you, someone that you highly esteem, and you're wanting to treat them for dinner. And you say, come out, let's go to Applebee's. It's going to be on me. Or we're going to go to Cattleman's. You know, Cattleman's got some good steak, good food there. So you're sitting there at Cattleman's, and you order you a nice plush steak, and you know, you got your salad, and you got your baked potato and stuff, and you start eating. And you tell your friend that you made, you just say, oh, just, yours is coming, just hold on. And you start eating, you eat, and then you eat until you're full. And you're like, oh, whew. And you got a little bit of steak left over, about a quarter of a baked potato left over. You got some lettuce scattered out on a plate with a few crunched up croutons right there, you know. And then you push it over to him, and you say, all right, there you go. Now, how many of you all would do that? We wouldn't do that to a friend. Why do we do that to God? Why do we handle money our way instead of his way? Because here's our two paths. We're either going to handle money his way, or we're going to handle it my way. True? That's what's going to happen. And God says, you know what? I'm not going to accept your offering. I'm not going to accept it. I will find a people who will bring me what I deserve. He goes down to verse 13. But you say, what a weariness this is. And you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence or is lame or sick, and this you bring as your offering. Shall I accept that from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations. And now, O priest, this command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I've already cursed them because you do not lay it to heart. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. Now, we're not having fun with money in America, statistics show. Or maybe we're having too much fun with money, and that's what's causing all the problems. Because statistics show that the majority of Americans are in debt. We're in debt to everything, okay? We're in debt. The average American has credit card debt, which means this. We're buying stuff that we don't need, right? With money we don't have. To impress people we don't like. And we've got all this stuff, and we keep buying more and more and more, and we're in debt, and so we have clothes that we wear that aren't ours, because there's still a credit card debt on it. We've got Big Macs that we've ate that we still haven't paid for. True? Because some of you still carrying a debt. You ain't got your credit card paid off. So we got to ask ourselves, whose money is it? Is it our money or God's money? If I handle money my way, guess what? I acquire. It's all about what I can get. If I handle money my way, it's all about getting more stuff, more stuff, more stuff. And we buy so much stuff, we got so much stuff that we will build an outbuilding, or we'll go to Lowe's and get us an outbuilding so that we can put more stuff in it that we don't have room in our current garage. Most people can't even park their car in their garage because there's so much stuff in the garage. Can I hear an amen? And then once the outbuilding gets filled up, we'll go down and rent one of these little portable little places where you can just storage garages that you will pay a monthly payment to put stuff that you'll never use in it. And we're not having fun with this money because behind adultery, finances is the number two cause of divorce. There are people my age still paying off college loans. We're not handling money well. Jesus says this: do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust will destroy and where thieves can break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust will destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So guess what? The way that you spend your money and what you spend your money on will determine where your heart is. It will show exactly where your heart is, because it's a heart issue. It's all about the heart. I want to write that down. It's about the heart. Where's your heart? If it's your money and it's all about you, it's going to be about acquiring things. If it's God's money, then I see myself as a steward, that it's not mine, that I have been given by God this financial wealth. And so I steward it to bring glory and honor to Him. I am a steward. I must realize, you must realize, that the Bible is true when it says, naked a man came into this world and naked he's leaving. You ain't taking nothing with you when you die. Do you got that? Nothing's going with you. Even the clothes they bury you in are going to fade away. You will take absolutely nothing with you. So we live just for a brief moment. Life is but a vapor, James says. It's here for a while and gone. And so while we have life and while we have wealth and while we have homes and cars, it's all on loan. It's all on loan by God. We don't own any of it. And so we've got to be good stewards of it. Amen? And so here's what the average American does with their money. So they will all about acquire. They will then pay their bills. Some. Just the important ones. Okay? And then they'll enjoy. Oh, man, I got to get a new tattoo. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good this morning. Oh, I gotta get a new baseball bat. Oh, I got this travel sports stuff going on. Now, I'm not against travel sports, because actually I'll be going to a game here in a little while this evening. But, you know, you can spend more money on a bat than you can the kingdom of God. Sure can. We like to spend our money, don't we, on us. We'll spend, 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 spend. We'll enjoy it. And then if we have any left over, we might save a little bit. And then when we realize, man, this month is crazy, I might need to think about how to budget. Too late then. Too late then. Y'all ever have a panic budget moment? Bah! How am I going to do this? It's because you've done it your way, and it's headed to a dead end. And then, if it's your money, then you may give. Then you may give. Now, if you're going to handle money God's way, here's what you need to do. You see yourself as a steward. And the first thing that you're going to do is you're going to set a budget. You're going to budget your money. You're going to actually know where your money's going to go that month before you even spend it. Okay? I know they don't teach this in school, but they ought to. You're going to budget your money. Then after you budget, the first thing, do you know what the number one line item in our budget is in our home? It's the tithe. We're going to give first thing. We're going to give. I'm going to make sure that God gets his best, that he gets my best, that he gets my best. I'm going to give that. Now, I learned this as a 19-year-old, okay? I wasn't taught properly on how we should be tithing on a regular basis. Maybe they told us about it and I just didn't listen. But I was at a moment, I was in college and I was trying to get out of, my goal was to get out of college without any debt, which should be all of your goals. If you go to college, man, it's a business. Don't let them fool you. Go to college. Don't get a debt. Don't try to go debt-free if you can. Work your way through college. Do all that you can to stay out of debt. And I worked at the steel plant. My dad was a steel worker. And so I got a job as a summer helper working at the steel plant. And I remember getting my first paycheck. And I remember praying out of Malachi here. And I said, Lord, I believe that you're true to what you say. And I'm going to honor you with my first fruits. And here's my prayer that if I'll honor you with my first fruits, Lord, would you help me make it through college without any student debt? And at 19 years old, I realized that God is faithful. And when we got married, you know, and Michelle, she had a job, and I was, we were traveling back and forth to Fleming County, pastoring a small church in Fleming County, and we would tithe always. And God proved himself faithful, letting us go through seminary, which wasn't cheap. She got her master's rank 1 at IU. And we did that, handling money God's way, and the blessing of God was there. He provided for our needs. Everything we needed, we had. Because then, after I give, I'm going to pay my bills, all of them. And then, I'm going to save. I'm going to put me out some savings. The average American statistics show is one paycheck away from bankruptcy. One major crisis, you're in trouble. Most Americans do not have a 3 to 6 months emergency fund set aside. Most Americans aren't really saving appropriately for their retirement. They're underfunded even in their retirement. After you save, then you enjoy. It's okay to enjoy, to have money, and to be able to have stuff and go places and do stuff. But guess what? I'm gonna do all this stuff first. And you know what I've discovered? Is that when I do all this stuff his way, I get to enjoy my money as well. I get to invest in the kingdom. I get all the blessings that God, and I get to have the things that I need. And I'm blessed by God. My heart is not on this earthly material stuff. It's in heaven. Not only is it a heart issue, but it's also this. It's a trust issue. It's a trust issue. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Many people quote the first 5 and 6 of this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Isn't that a good verse? I mean, isn't that one of those good ones you memorize? And you're like, man, I'm just going to trust in God in all my ways. He's going to make everything straight for me. But we got to keep reading. It says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing with your to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your what? Wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. What's he saying? If you will put me first, I will make sure that I take care of all your needs. Here's what we do. We spend money our own way. It's my money and I want it now. And it's all about our money. We think it's our money and then we get ourselves in a mess and it doesn't work out because we've got our budget flipped upside down and then something happens and we got to go start a GoFundMe page. GoFundMe. Go fund yourself, you know, that's what I want to say. Here's your GoFundMe page. Proverbs chapter 3. God is your fund. If you will handle money the way God says to handle money, you'll have your funds. Amen? I tell you now, I need to hear some more amens out of this. Here we go. I'm preaching about something that can change your life. And I know that you've heard the TV evangelist, and you're like, well, he's acting like one of those prosperity preachers. Here's what I will not tell you. I'm not going to promise you this. You give your tithe, you're going to drive a Rolls Royce and Mercedes Benz, and you're going to live in a mansion. No, here's what I will promise. You handle money the way God says to handle money, and there will be a blessing over your life. There will be. There will be. It's a trust issue. Do you trust him? It's a faith issue. It's about your heart, it's about your trust, and it's about your faith. It's about your faith. The Bible tells us, for the love of money is the root of all sorts and kinds of evil. And through its craving that some have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Doesn't say money's evil. It says the love of money is evil. And here's what I've discovered. You don't have to be rich to love money. You can be broke and still love money. And you put money and you bring blemished animals to the offering. And when the offering bag comes in, you put in a $5 bill or a $10 bill in there, and it makes you feel good about yourself, but it's a blind animal. Now, if you make $100 a week and you put a $10 bill in that bag, you are honoring God with your best. If you make $1,000 a week and you put a 10 in there, it's blind. It's lame. It's sick. No, a $100 bill goes in there. That's your best. That's your first fruit. It's a faith issue. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes, and you've not kept them. He says, return to me, and I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? This God responds. He says, will a man rob God? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions, or tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Now, this message, I'm motivating you and teaching you on the what we're supposed to do. And I don't want you to miss the why we do it, okay? Because knowing your why is very important of helping you accomplish your what. Watch this video.
The series is called How Do I Know? And a lot of times when people hear the phrase, how do I know, the next thing they say is what? How do I know what? But the key really isn't to know what. The key is to know why. Because when you know your why, you have options on what your what can be. For instance, my why is to inspire people to walk in purpose. My what is stand-up comedy. My what is writing books. My what can be going out with some friends to eat. In fact, another what that has moved me towards my why is a web series that we have out now called Break Time. So every Wednesday at 3 o'clock, you should subscribe to the channel. We do a series called Break Time on YouTube. So 3 o'clock, we drop a new episode. One episode in particular I'm about to show you a clip to. We were in Winston-Salem. So Break Time, this is how it works. I travel the country. I do stand-up comedy, probably an hour, hour and a half at an event. And in the middle of my show, I'll just sit down and start talking to the audience. And funny just happens. Or I'll meet somebody who's really interesting. So I met this one guy, and he said that he teaches music at a school. I was like, all right, you teach music, you know, can you sing? And then I'm just going to show you the clip. Check it. So you're a musical director.
Cool. Yes, sir.
All right, so... Let me get a couple bars of like Amazing Grace. Can you do the first part of that? Go ahead.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
That bro could sing. You know what I'm saying?
All right, all right. Now, what you give me the version is if your uncle just got out of jail, you got shot in the back when you was a kid. I'm just saying, let me see the hood version real quick, if you know which version I'm talking about. Just see if that exists. Let me see what you got.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
So here's the thing. The first time I asked him to sing, he knew what he was doing. The second time I asked him to sing, he knew why he was doing it. When you know your why, your what has more impact, because you're walking in or towards your purpose.
So the why. The what is, I bring my tithe. Right? Why? Because I honor my God. I honor my King. And I bring him for my tithes, for my money. I don't say, well, I'm going to bring you my serving and replace that, or I'm going to do this and that. No, I bring him my tithe. Why? He says it here in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. He says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Okay? He says, the kingdom work that I'm doing is important. Make sure that that gets funded. Make sure that that's there. Make sure that my house has food. Make sure that the ministry of what I'm about to do upon you is released. Make sure that you bring the full tithe into the storehouse. Now, the storehouse is where you go to church. It's not the Salvation Army. It's not Blue Cross Blue Shield. It's not the Red Cross. It's not, you know, some nonprofit organization. Your tithe belongs to the church. So parents, start teaching your kids the importance of that. Why? So that the kingdom may advance. Because that's exactly what Jesus said when he said, seek first the kingdom of God. And then he goes on and he says, and thereby, he says, put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If you have your Bible, underline, put me to the test. Mark that up. That's the only time in Scripture that God says, test me. You don't believe me? Test me. Prove me. Prove me. He says, put me to the test. Put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. He says, I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. He says, if you will honor me with your tithe, I will make sure that you have everything that you need to survive. And if you can live a debt-free life, and we're walking in the blessings of finances rather than the cursings, do you think that Americans would say, man, once you're all secret, you all look like you're actually being able to handle money rather than being stressed out about money and having to get a second job, third job, or working all these hours so that you can just get more stuff? Anyway, his way or my way, right? Which way is it going to be? Why do you tithe? To honor God, so that your heart's in the right place. Jesus said, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you already need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these other things, the things that you need, will be added to you. Do you see it? There's a blessing over your life. Another reason why you need to bring your best is so that we can continue doing the works of the ministry. All right? You say, yeah, that's a good sermon for you, preacher. Y'all must be needing a raise. Pastoral staff needs a raise. No. No. I'll tell you something about your pastoral staff here. We believe in the tithe. And we give. And we give very well to the kingdom work of this church. Why? Because the tithe went to the Levites, but then the Levites were commanded to tithe as well. Okay? So we believe it, and we do it, and we practice it. I'd be like Paul here in this. If y'all would follow our example, our church would be, we'd be paid off. We got a $1.3 million debt on this building right here that we come to every week. Okay? That's a good reason to give. Amen? Well, I'd like to get this thing paid off. What do you say? Guess what? We got energy bills here. You know that? Do you know that KU, they just don't give this to us for free? We got trash bills. We got internet. We got cleaning supplies. We got this nice worship center here, right? We got lights. We got sound. We got all this cool stuff that we got going on. We got a hip, new, cool worship pastor, right? Amen. We got a heated baptistry. We can heat this thing if I don't forget to turn it on, right, Chase? We got a cafe that we give all kinds of breakfast out, and that's usually on the church's dime because we don't get enough donations to offset that, by the way. We have a nursery. We have classrooms. We have nice furniture in here. We have top-of-the-line children's church curriculum and the most technological savvy youth pastor in the county. Woo! There he is. We have building maintenance that has to go on all the time on the church. We got ground maintenance that needs to go on. We have food ministries. We give food to new moms, funeral surgeries, community outreaches. We help with local parks. We do projects. We spend thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars on outreaches and ministries every year. We have the largest VBS in the community. There's hundreds of kids that come through here. We have this gym in here that's being used almost on a daily basis with basketball and soccer, and we've got karate going on, and we've got birthday parties and anniversaries, and we've got all these events that this place has used. We have we give shoes to kids. I mean the ministries, we could go on and on and on, and we could list all of the outreaches that we do. We could all the ministries, and guess what, church? Those are all blessing people, not only in our county, but in the surrounding counties. You want another good reason to give and to bring your best to God? Well, watch this video so this can continue to happen as well. Watch this one. There's your why. There's your why. If you want to know why, because people's lives are being changed for all eternity. People's lives are being changed with the gospel of Jesus. And where else can you go and give of your resources that will make an impact in somebody's life being changed forever? Huh? There's the why. After the people heard God and they heard his word over them, there is a few that listened. And there's a few who got together and they decided they were going to do something. Malachi 3 verse 16, it says this. Then those who feared the Lord, they spoke with one another. And the Lord paid attention, and he heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. He says, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. In the day when I make up my treasured possession, I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. And then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Church, let me tell you something. I am speaking to you today as a man at a young age at 19 learned that you can take God at his word, and that if you are faithful to him and you will bring your best to him. He will provide for your needs. And that's not a gimmick. That's not me just trying to do something. That's just the truth. What happens if everybody begins tithing the way God says to tell us to tithe? Guess what? We pay this building off in 1 year. Amen. We can pay this building off in 1 year if everybody just brought their best. Okay? If everybody didn't bring their best, but at least did this right here, $20, what would $20 extra a week do? If everyone who currently gave last year gave the same amount that they gave last year, but added $20 to it a week, which is $1,040 for over a year, that's $430,560 added to the budget. That means in 3 years this building gets paid off. Because you know what? We're only working on half the building. There's another 33,000 square feet on the other side. We've got a couple gyms proposed out there, an upstairs, a really cool children's worship area, a kitchen, a fellowship area. We've got 12 acres. We've got land behind us. I've been hearing people say, how come we don't do a school? We don't do a school. I tell you what, you start giving. I tell you what we could do is instead of using this for the expansion, we can just use the back end for a school and we can build our own gym for that activity. I mean, the possibilities could be unlimited if we all brought our best. We've been talking about starting a church for the last 13 years. We're going on 13 years as a church. As day one, I want us to start a church. I'm tired of talking about it. We need to walk it out. And how's that going to happen? Everybody bringing their best. I want to bring on a pastor like Fairview did for us, and I want him to serve here for 2 years, and I want to mentor him, and I want to send him out somewhere and go start a church. Huh? How's that going to happen? That's going to take us bringing our best financially. We've got to walk it out. We got to walk it out. Now you think $20 a week. I ain't got $20 a week. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. I'll show you. Any of y'all recognize these places right here? Huh? I tell you what, I love Dairy Queen. I know the manager there. He is a great guy, and I encourage you to go there. It's good, but our family cannot eat. We cannot eat for $20 or less when we go to Dairy Queen. Yeah, can I hear an amen? Y'all know? You take one fast food restaurant out of your week and give it to the kingdom work, and it will make a huge difference. Amen. Some of you say, I don't know. I'm still not convinced. Here's what we're gonna do. If you've always wanted to tithe, but you're kind of nervous about tithing, Lana or Gloria is gonna be at the water source. There's a 90-day tithe challenge that if you fill out a form, you'll get it. I won't see it. None of the pastoral staff will see it. The finance team, they'll see it, okay? And if you want to test God on this, as he says in Malachi, for 90 days, you'll fill that out. And if in those 90 days, God doesn't provide for your need, and you have to get money to provide a need, not a want, a need, we'll make sure you get that money and that bill's taken care of, okay? So if you've always wanted, man, I don't know. And we're giving you a way to test God. Because here's what I'm convinced of. I'm convinced that when we begin handling money God's way, we'll see that God's faithful. Amen. And I'm telling you, church, what a witness that is to the world of people who walk in financial freedom and blessing rather than cursing. Agree? You tired of this? You tired of having a weight around your neck of financial bondage? Huh? It's not fun. It's not fun. Let's bring our best to God and see what he can do. What do you think? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. We love you, God, and you are a good father. And you take care of your kids. And we can trust you, Lord. Father, I thank you for being faithful to me. Now, I have to admit, selfishly, there's been some things that I've wanted that I haven't gotten. But that selfishness, I didn't need them anyway. But Lord, you've always been faithful, providing everything I need. I pray, God, that you would speak to the hearts of everyone here today. And Lord, Help them evaluate where they stand with you. Are they bringing their best to you? When that offering bag goes by them, are they just throwing in a lame animal? Or are they bringing their first fruits? Are they honoring you as a father? Are they recognizing you as a king? Or, Lord, shamefully, do we invest more in the kingdom of Nike than the kingdom of God? Do we invest more in the kingdom of Under Armour than the kingdom of God? Do we invest more in the earthly treasures? Or do we seek first your kingdom? Speak to us, God. Work in our hearts. And Lord, may we bring our best to you. And Lord, if there's someone here today that does not know you as Lord and Savior, may they realize that you gave your best, Jesus, so that they might be redeemed. Lord, let us do what you called us to do. May we be faithful. May our heart be right. May we trust you. And may our faith increase. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's come. Let's pray. Let's worship. Let's be obedient.